There's a new National Museum of African American History and Culture going up in Washington, D.C. right now. There's also new museums in the works in Atlanta and Jackson, Charleston, and other cities with the mission of commemorating and preserving an African American experience that is very much present in contemporary American life and in news around the world, even if some of the historical details and important milestones of the civil rights movement may be starting to fade. Joining me to talk about what it means to create a new museum of the civil rights movement in the United States is Doug Shipman from Atlanta, Georgia, president of the National Center for Civil and Human Rights. Welcome to the program.
Thanks.
And also with us is Dr. Khalil Gibran Muhammad, director of the Schomburg Center for Research into Black Culture, joining us from New Jersey. Doctor, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me on.
So what is the mission, Doug Shipman, for creating new museums and institutions that are going to carry forward the preservation message, but also the relevance message for civil rights and African-American history in our time?
Well, rightfully so. Most of the institutions that were first built were memorials in Memphis to where King was assassinated, in Birmingham to the bombing of the four little girls at the church. But now I think we're moving into a time where we're both uncovering more stories from the movement, stories of women, stories of students, stories of unknown soldiers, of foot soldiers, but also then connecting those to contemporary movements. So even as we've seen the Arab uprisings, we've seen the women in Saudi Arabia who are fighting for the right to drive called the Rosa Parks and the Freedom Riders. We've seen people in Tahrir Square hold up signs saying, "I am a man," in Arabic, which is a direct reference to Memphis in 1968. So I think it's interpreting the civil rights movement for a whole new generation who didn't live through it, but showing how it's still incredibly relevant to the life we live today.
That's Doug Shipman, president of the National Center for Civil and Human Rights. Dr. Khalil Gibran Muhammad, let me ask you a question that relates to my 13-year-olds. I got two, obviously, white 13-year-old girls, but they go to a very integrated school right here in very diverse New York, and their 13-year-old African-American and Hispanic and Asian friends express a certain amount of weariness with Black History Month. There's sort of a why kind of thing. And I'm wondering if we've reached a point where separate but equal is now applying to historical narratives, and that maybe the mission should be integration of the African-American story into the broader American history story rather than the building of these kinds of institutions. What do you think?
Well, that's a good question. I actually think that the initial focus on Black history was to provide a counter narrative to a white supremacist narrative. And you can't forget that, because for most of the 20th century, the production of knowledge around Black people's experiences was discredited, both in the academy and on the street.
So Dr. Khalil Gibran Muhammad, his Skype connection broke there. But let's carry that forward with Doug Shipman. What do you think? Is there a tension between countering the white supremacist message, and is that moving into a moment where maybe we need to be more forward-thinking rather than backward-looking?
Well, I think Dr. Muhammad is correct that that is where the African-American history first grew out of. But now, I mean, even if you think about the National Museum that's being built by the Smithsonian, a National Museum of African-American History and Culture, it's right there on the Mall, which is as inclusive as you can get. This year we opened up the King Memorial right across from the Jefferson Memorial. So I think instead of seeing it as a separate kind of history, I think it's a focused history. It's understanding American history through a certain lens. And I think that that's very powerful, because it allows you to understand something in particular, but then it also allows you to uncover those universal messages. And I think that that's where we are with African-American history, and it's important because it gives us a fuller picture of where we've come from, and it also gives us a fuller picture of where we may go in the future. I mean, the 13-year-old kids, the fact that they're talking with each other about their own cultures, I think, is indicative of exactly where we are right now when it comes to these issues.
You know, the Smithsonian had extraordinary success with the American Indian Native American Museum there on the Mall in D.C., very, very popular and attracted people from all cultures. I'm wondering if there is a strategy or there needs to be a strategy for a museum that probably needs to talk to non-African Americans as much, if not more, than to African-Americans who would come to this museum. Because, as you say, we've moved away from the memorial idea and moving much towards more towards a relevance and education idea. Doug?
I think that's exactly right, and I think that at least in the planning that we're doing, we certainly are very cognizant of that in uncovering stories that allow anyone from any time period to tap into and to say, ah, that's familiar to me, whether it be about social justice, whether it be about organizing, or whether it be about the role of religion and social movement, allowing folks to have a way in. And just as an aside, it certainly can be done. When the Holocaust Memorial Museum in D.C. first opened, it was a vast majority of their visitors were Jewish, and now less than 15% of their visitors are Jewish. It's a universal story, but it's about a particular time period, about a particular situation. And so I think that you do see these institutions, especially, even if you look at what Lonnie Bunch has done, I think he's done a great job, culture and allowing culture to be part of it, not just history in the way we think about it, but culture as far as music and sport is a universalized story. And
right.
So that allows all kinds of folks in.
We've got Dr. Khalil Gibran Muhammad back from the Schomburg Center for Research into Black Culture. How do you make this a universal message in an institution like this? And where would you put the story of Barack Obama in a new museum of African-American history, Doctor?
Well, I think that he is the most universal figure to come out of the African-American tradition. So in that regard, he's an easy figure to place within the context of a living history center. But I think, because I was lost, I did want to say something about the Holocaust Memorial in relation to culturally specific institutions. I think we have to recognize that the Holocaust Museum does not neutralize or even sanitize the experience of Jews during World War II. And so, in a sense, it's asking people to see that trauma as the trauma of humanity and not as a Jewish trauma. But the story has to be told in a very specific way. And I think that to the question of 13-year-olds that I was trying to get to, they are, in a sense, a consequence of this country's national unwillingness to teach in a sustained way Black history or Native American history, for that matter. And I just want to cite one thing because I think it gives a little bit of context to the uncertainty of where our institutions are in the 21st century. Teaching the Movement was a study done by the Southern Poverty Law Center, published in September of 2011. And just two quick data points. One is that it found that among seniors, high school seniors, only 2% expressed basic civil rights fluency, that is, any basic understanding of the civil rights movement. The second data point was by their standards, they studied 50 states and their curriculums, and 35 received a grade of F. So those 13-year-olds may have Black History Month weariness, but they don't have the knowledge. And so we have to ask our questions. Have we been doing what we're supposed to do as educators, as museum directors, and as leaders of research centers to get the message across that this is fundamental knowledge, this information is as important as the founding of the nation?
I'll need to quiz my 13-year-olds and their friends on civil rights, I think, to explore some of those data points. Let's talk about the Holocaust Museum as an analogy here. The issue of the trauma of the Holocaust is separate from the notion of Jewish contributions to world culture and, say, American culture. They're almost separate institutions that exist for those two messages. Can you have an African-American history institution that both captures the trauma of slavery and also tells a reliable story about the movement and the broader contributions to American life that African Americans have made?
I certainly believe so. That's what the Schomburg Center is about. It's an 85-year-old institution. It's a research institution with museum space. And so because we have galleries, we move those narratives in and out of those interpretive spaces. So on one hand, we've done amazing work around slavery and the slave trade. On another hand, we celebrate the centennial of Romare Bearden, one of the greatest collagist and African-American painters of the 20th century, indeed an American icon in the art world. So that's, I think, the point of Doug Shipman's own work, which is that you have a space that is pliable, that is malleable, and those narratives move not only across time, but in terms of their messaging.
All right. Doug Shipman, can the Smithsonian pull that off?
Oh, I certainly think that they can. And just to extend the point, I think that you also have to look at the context of where we are. I mean, we know we've all looked at the stats. We're moving to a majority-minority country. We've seen that last week there was a story about interracial marriage going way up. So I also think that interpreting this going forward, we now have more people born after 1970 than born before, back to your 13-year-olds. And so I think that it's exactly what Dr. Muhammad was saying. We have to make sure that the knowledge is taken forward for what happened, and then the application of that knowledge in a new context. So not only do the institutions have to be pliable, but we have to understand that our audiences are being quite pliable with the way that they're seeing things. They are connecting the civil rights movement to the Arab uprisings. They are connecting it to issues of immigration, to issues of gay marriage. And we as institutions have to be both authentic in the way that we tell the history, but also flexible enough to understand that it's going to have new lenses put upon it. So I think the Smithsonian can do that, and I think that other institutions like ours can contribute to that, that as well.
An exciting degree of relevance there. Kids from, or people born after 1970, my kids call them old people, that's for sure. Doug Shipman, CEO of the National Center for Civil and Human Rights in Atlanta, Georgia, and Dr. Khalil Gibran Muhammad, Director of the Schomburg Center for Research in Black Culture. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Some thoughts on this President's Day and Black History Month. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.